Read in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 3. Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, and verse 13. And he goes up into the mountain and calls whom he himself would, and they went to it. And he appointed 12 that they might be with him, that he might send them to preach and to have power to heal diseases and to cast out demons. And he gave to Simon the surname of Peter, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he gave them surname of Boanerges, that is, Sons of Thunder. And then in chapter 5 of the same gospel, from verse 36, but Jesus immediately, having heard the word spoken, says to the ruler of the synagogue, "Fear not, only believe." And he suffered no one to accompany him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and sees the tumult and people weeping and wailing. And entering in, he says to them, "Why do you make a tumult and weep? The child has not died, but sleeps." And they derided him. But he, having put them all out, takes with him the father of the child and the mother, and those that were with him, and enters in where the child was lying. And having laid hold, thank you. At the hand of the child, he says to her, "Talitha kumai," which is interpreted, "Damsel, I say to thee, arise." And chapter 9 of the same gospel, verse 1. And he says to them, "Verily I say unto you, there are some of those standing here that shall not taste death until they shall have seen the kingdom of God come in power." And after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John, and takes them up on a high mountain by themselves apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his garments became shining, exceeding white as snow, such as fuller on earth could not whiten. And then finally in chapter 14 of the same gospel, verse 32, Mark 14, verse 32. They come to a place of which the name is Gethsemane, and he says to his disciples, "Sit here while I shall pray." He takes with him Peter and James and John and began to be amazed and oppressed. In the gospel on Lord's Day, our brother read a section which in Luke, which is tells the same incident of the young girl who was raised. But it impressed me that you have these three disciples, three of the apostles, who are singled out by the Lord for something something special. And it's interesting to see later how they take up their service as apostles. But I think this would have been a particular learning time for them when they were with the Lord. So I read these four passages because they each name the three of them. Firstly, when they're called. And we're told by Mark that Peter is Simon's surname, and Boanerges are the surnames of James and John. So they are distinguished in that way, as having been given surnames by the Lord. They don't lose their identity. They're still named as Simon, and James, and John, but as if the Lord has singled them out. And I thought that in these other sections where I read, we get particular aspects of what they were to witness. Firstly, in regard of resurrection in chapter 5, and then in regard of the glory of the Lord in chapter 9. Mm-hmm. And then in chapter 14, his sufferings. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good for us as well to be occupied with those things. Mm-hmm. That we see how the Lord took to himself the 12 to whom he gave power to go out. And in fact, in Mark's Gospel, I think particularly you get the thought of power. So all of them are given power. Now, I notice that Mark says power to heal diseases. That comes first in Mark's Gospel, not the casting of demons. As if it's power and regard of what is positive and good. It's good if healing can come in. If something has come in, either physical or moral, perhaps something that might have come in between brethren, that healing can come in. And it's interesting, I think, that the Lord connects power with this, and as it says, authority as well. That there is the authority there to be able to deal with it. I know there's the apostles are unique in this. They had an authority such as you would not see in our day. But there are features, I think, in the assembly of authority to be able to deal with such things. But we're already in chapter 5. We get the incident of the young girl who had died. And there were a great crowd who go with the Lord, but, including, I suppose, all his apostles. But now he singles out these three again. That he suffered no one to accompany him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. So they go in. We find elsewhere, of course, that the parents go as well. But Mark just mentions these three specifically, but, so that they are to witness this young girl coming to life again. We know it's not exactly resurrection as we would think of. It's not resurrection to a body of glory. It's more a thought of resuscitation. But still, there is the power of resurrection, which is seen here. And again, I think it's something which would have been part of their formation for taking up their service when the Spirit came. But then in chapter 9, it's the glory of the Lord. They see the kingdom of God come in power. That is Mark's presentation of it. Kingdom of God come in power. And so they see the glory of the Lord. I could have read the whole section, but my thought particularly was these three being with him. And while he was transfigured. As it says, he was transfigured before them. Mm-hmm. They would have witnessed it. What a wonderful privilege it was to see the glory of the Lord. I think you could say of ourselves, even at our time, that when the Lord comes in, he's made known to us, not exactly transfigured, but he's made known to us, you might say personally. But what an effect it had on them, didn't it? If you think of the Lord, think of Peter, saying so many years later that they had been with the Lord, this voice we heard uttered to him on the holy mountain. What an effect it had on him, didn't it? That the Lord here was glorified. Just a foretaste of what they were to know by the Spirit, and how they were then able to go out in testimony to the Lord. What power there was with the apostles, wasn't there, when they went out. So it's interesting, again, thinking of these three, because Peter, we would connect, I suppose, particularly with the kingdom. He had before him, I think, what is great. He's one who speaks of the new heavens and new earth, where we dwell righteousness. What a wonderful view he had of what was to come in eternity. John, I think, has smaller thought of what is intimate. So he speaks of a new heaven and a new earth in Revelation, as if it's something much much closer to us, much as if God would just impress us with the way that he has come so near. But then I read finally in chapter 14, they are singled out again. I'm sure it must have been a very difficult place for them. How different this was, wasn't it, from the mountain? And probably that hadn't been very long previously. But they go with him, and it says he began to be amazed and oppressed in spirit. I'm sure they didn't understand all that was all that was going to happen. But the Lord wanted them to witness it, just as he wanted to witness these other events, so that they were to witness something of the suffering, the agony that he went through here while he was anticipating his death. They were to know that. So you think of Paul, he speaks, doesn't he, of the power of the Lord's resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And there were things which there were two things which he puts together in that way. So that we know we know what the Lord has done. We know the completeness of his work. But there is that, I think, which characterizes believers now. It's being identified with the sufferings of Christ, the one who went through everything uniquely by himself. There's no way in which we could enter into the atoning sufferings. But it does say that if we suffer with him, we are to reign with him. We don't. We might suffer for him, but suffering with him has in view, I think, more what is inward. That we feel conditions. We feel what there is in this world. What has come in. We feel the state of things in Christendom. That's all to do with the sufferings, I think, which we can enter into ourselves at this time. I think that these three are given to us as like a presentation of what the Lord has had singled out so that they should have their own particular service towards believers at the beginning of this dispensation. Mm. Well, it's just these thoughts, brethren, may the Lord bless.